You may be seated. The last case this morning is 2015-1782, State of Ohio versus Hamza Shalash. I'm sorry. Mr. Scott?
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Terrence Kinsley Scott, and I represent Mr. Hamza Shalash. Your Honors, I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, Mr. Shalash was convicted of trafficking in controlled substance analogs. However, he was convicted some 10 months after the particular statute was created, Your Honors. Mr. Shalash's activities did not, again, become criminalized until 10 months after he was indicted. Now, HB 64 defined controlled substance analogs for the purpose of controlled substance law. Now, the General Assembly and the Attorney General were well aware that HB 64 lacked the specificity to prosecute analog offenses, and it wasn't until the enactment of HB 334 did Mr. Shalash's activities actually become criminalized, Your Honors. And I'll take any questions from the panel.
Okay. So that's the end of the story.
Essentially,
he was prosecuted under a law that he could only be convicted under a law that didn't exist at the time he committed, engaged in the activity.
Correct, Your Honor. HB 334, its stated purpose was to create the offenses of trafficking in and possession of controlled substance analogs. Now, the state's position, which I'm sure they'll articulate for the court, is that somehow HB 64, the General Assembly had intended for these particular offenses to have been criminalized prior. However, that runs completely counter to the stated purpose of HB 334, Your Honors.
So the substance that he was trafficking in, which was what?
So the particular substances that he was trafficking in, they were not, at the time he was selling those products, they were not defined compounds. So the schedule.
What were they?
They were synthetic marijuana. So these are cannabinoids. Now, HB 64, what it did was it did identify very specific types of.
Was he selling it as synthetic marijuana?
He was selling it under various commercial names, but yes, he was selling these products out of his a Marathon gas station, Your Honors.
But he said this is synthetic marijuana,
correct?
Not this is marijuana.
However, the schedule defines specific compounds that are illegal
okay,
at the time.
Answer the question: was he selling it as synthetic marijuana or marijuana?
That part is, honestly, Your Honor, I don't have an answer to that question, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
Counsel, your friends from the state, I think, are going to point to one specific statute, mm-hmm. and that's Revised Code 3729.13 that provides that a controlled substance analog, to the extent intended for human consumption, as these substances were, shall be treated for purposes of any provision of the revised code as a controlled substance in Schedule 1. So why doesn't that answer our question here?
And you're absolutely right. That is certainly an argument that they're going to advance, and it's an argument that has already been advanced in the 10th District in numerous cases. And those arguments left that court unconvinced for a number of reasons.
But you have to convince us.
Absolutely, Your Honors. And if we look at these particular statutes in their historical context, 3719.01, it is the controlled substance definitional statute. And 2925.01 is the drug offenses definitional statute. Now, these statutes came in together in the mid-late 70s, and they have always cross-referenced one another. So in 2011, when 3719.013 comes along, the question then becomes, does it somehow override these other two statutes that have always cross-referenced one another? This was the ambiguity that the 10th District found so troubling. It wasn't clear as to whether or not this was going to somehow displace those particular statutes. There's never a cross-reference to the controlled substance definitional statute or the drug offenses definitional statute.
But what you're asking us to do is engage in statutory construction. you know, to look at the legislative history, to look at, finding an ambiguity and then trying to resolve it. My beginning point is always, well, what's the language say? Mm-hmm. And the statute very directly says any provision of the revised code. So doesn't that include the other provisions, all of the other provisions that you've just referred to? Where is the ambiguity if we're looking at that, at 3729.13 expressly?
Well, when we look at 3719, it even says as used in this chapter. So it is limited to Title 37. The language of the actual definitional, the controlled substance definitional statute, its phrasing actually limits the use of that definition, Your Honors.
Even though it refers to any provision of the revised code, you would say it still only applies to Chapter 37.
It does, because Chapter 3719, again, it is this regulatory civil portion of the code that is, this is not where the criminal offenses exist. Typically, if there is going to be a criminal offense, it is going to be born out of Title 29, and that's where your criminal offenses are, Your Honors. So if I'm driving down the street and I've got LSD and these various drugs on my person, I'm not going to get charged out of Title 37. This is a pharmaceutical regulatory part of the code. Those charges would come out of the criminal code. So this suggestion that that it was intended to apply to the entire code is problematic. Again, when you look at 334, whose stated purpose was to actually create these offenses. So if the General Assembly is creating a thing, the presumption is that thing didn't previously exist, Your Honors.
What did the indictment actually say against your client? What was the specific statute that he was indicted under?
So he was indicted under 2925.03A1. Five counts of trafficking in controlled substances, Your Honor.
Was there a motion to have more specific information regarding what controlled substance he was being charged with?
I believe there was a bill of particulars. There were two cases actually associated with Mr. Shalash's appeal. Initially, when he appealed this case, he had filed a motion in limine to exclude certain evidence, and that was denied. So on appeal, that was overturned because he wasn't permitted to actually use an expert witness to identify some of these substances, Your Honors.
And then what did House Bill 334, what amendment was made to Title 29 that would cover this situation?
Absolutely. So 334 actually did something for the first time and actually inserted controlled substance analog directly into the criminal code. This had never been done before. So in creating those offenses, it actually put the term, the phrase controlled substance analog directly
in what section of Title 29 did it put
2925, Your Honors.
2925
.03 and .11. So .03 would have been trafficking in controlled substance analogs, and .11 would have been possession of controlled substance analogs. But not only that, it did something else that's pretty interesting here, Your Honors. It actually amended 3719.013. So as the statute reads today, it actually excludes the application of 3719.013 from the criminal code, which suggests that the General Assembly never intended for it to apply to the criminal code. The first phrase of 3719.013 is, except as otherwise provided in 2925.03 and 2925.11, controlled substance analogs are Schedule I drugs, essentially excluding, again, its application from the criminal code, Your Honors.
Was he ever re-indicted under the appropriate section?
Not. So when the actual charges did not change significantly going from one case to the second case, he was still indicted under the code as it existed at the time, Your Honor, before the creation of these analog offenses.
But the actual offenses or the allegation that they were committed, mm-hmm, was before 334.
Correct, Your Honor. 10 months before. Yes, Your Honors. If there are no other questions from the panel, I would like to reserve the remainder of my time, Your Honor.
All right.
Thank you.
Ms. Horvath?
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is Catherine Horvath. I represent the state of Ohio in this appeal. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for Mr. Howe from the Attorney General's office. Appellant's argument in this case rests on a fiction that Title 29 of the revised code is a self-contained body of law, and that has never been the case.
Wait a minute, isn't that where crimes are defined? And isn't that where defendants look to see if they've been charged with an offense?
That is where many crimes are defined. It's not where all of the crimes are defined, and it does not contain all of the subject matter relating to Ohio's crimes. And that's especially true when it comes to drug offenses, because Chapter 3719 is entitled Controlled Substances. And that is where the Ohio legislature defines and schedules all controlled compounds. So it's perfectly logical for the legislature to define analogs and to mandate that analogs are treated as Schedule I controlled substances in the chapter entitled Controlled Substances. Statutes are to be read in pari materia, especially where they either relate to the same thing or have a common purpose.
Did the indictment then read that 37 was also part of the indictment?
It did not, Your Honor.
So how does the defendant know? Isn't part of the indictment to give notice to a defendant of what he or she has been charged with?
That's correct, Your Honor. And he would know the same way he would know what a controlled substance was if he were indicted for a controlled substance, because the indictment says he was indicted for trafficking in controlled substance analogs. And so either way, he would have to look to the chapter on controlled substances to determine what a controlled substance was defined under Ohio law, or to determine what an analog was under Ohio law. And so in this case, he could have easily looked there and seen the provision that states that analogs are going to be treated for purposes of any provision of the revised code as a schedule. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No, you're saying easily. He could have easily looked and found this out in the code. You're talking about legal fictions. I think that's really the legal fiction here, isn't it?
No, Your Honor, I have to disagree, because statutes are read together, and if we're going to impute the knowledge of the law on a defendant, which we do, ignorance of the law is not a defense, we have to also assume that he or she is reading the statutes as a whole. It makes just as much sense to begin with Chapter 3719 when trying to determine what amount of control the law provides for any given substance as it does to begin with Chapter 2925 under drug
offenses. So what was he selling?
So he was selling synthetic marijuana. It was called Spice or K2 or bath salts. It had a variety of trade names, a variety of substances with trade
and
names.
And it's not a health and beauty aid. It has some known effect upon the user, I assume.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's part of how we read into the legislative intent. There is no other reason to schedule a substance as a Schedule I substance other than to criminalize it. All Schedule I substances are scheduled as such because they have a high potential for abuse and because there is no currently accepted safe or medical use for those substances. And that's exactly what these were. They weren't common household items. And one of the things that I wanted to point out is that the appellant and the 10th District have not offered an alternative interpretation for revised code 3719.013 to give that statute any effect other than to criminalize controlled substance analogs.
Well, if that had been criminalized in House Bill 64, if I understand Mr. Scott's argument, it was then recriminalized in House Bill 334? It wasn't in the criminal code until 334 came into existence.
The term analog.
So had it been criminalized earlier, there would have been no need for 334.
That's actually incorrect, Your Honor, and I can explain why.
Well, that's the essence of what Mr. Scott is arguing to us.
Correct, Your Honor. The term analog was not located within Title 29 under House Bill 64, because there was a provision in Chapter 3719 that stated we treat analogs like Schedule I controlled substances. And Schedule I and controlled substances were both terms that were defined in Chapter 29. And then well, they weren't defined there, they were referenced there and then defined within Chapter 3719. So with House Bill 64, the other thing that it did was it scheduled 12 very specific compounds. Six of those were synthetic cannabinoids, six of those were synthetic cathinones, so six spices, six bath salts. From those 12 substances, we could derive an analog that would meet the analog definition and then could be prosecuted as a Schedule I controlled substance under the aggravated trafficking statute. With House Bill 334, the legislature recognized that there was more creativity with these substances. Chemists were coming up with new substances that weren't meeting the definition of an analog. And so what they did was schedule classes of compounds to create a broader spectrum of substances from which an analog would meet the definition of an analog, because an analog has to be substantially structurally similar to something that's already located within the schedules. So that was one of the purposes of House Bill 334. The other purpose was to carve out an exception within the aggravated trafficking provision. So the trafficking statute provides that if the person is found to be selling a Schedule I substance, that person is guilty of aggravated trafficking in drugs. And then it goes on to carve out exceptions for various substances. House Bill 334 did that for analogs. And so it changed the penalty scheme for analogs and the sentencing scheme for analogs. Whereas before, we were prosecuting them as Schedule I controlled substances, which is exactly what House Bill 64 said to do.
Council 3719 does refer to Schedule One. Where does Schedule One reside?
That's in 3719 point, I believe it's 4.4 or 4.1.
So it's the schedules are actually in Chapter 37.
That's correct, Your Honor. All of the schedules are outlined in Chapter 37. I believe there are also some drugs that are scheduled in the administrative code as well. So there is that.
So this is a knockoff or replacement for marijuana.
Correct. A synthetic.
And is marijuana a Schedule One?
It is, Your Honor. But like analogs under the new law, it has a carved out exception and it's not prosecuted under the aggravated trafficking section of the statute. Before, under House Bill 64, it would have been perfectly fine if there hadn't been that carved out exception to prosecute marijuana under the aggravated trafficking statute because it's treated as a Schedule I controlled substance. That wasn't the state of the law at the time, but if it were. The legislature has the ability.
So could the analog be prosecuted for a higher penalty than the substance that it was replicating?
That's correct, Your Honor. Under the new law, it can be prosecuted for a higher penalty. Under House Bill 64, it could not. So that was one of the shortcomings of House Bill 64. And we recognize that House Bill 64 had shortcomings, but ambiguity was not one of them. If you look at the Legislative Service Commission bill analysis for House Bill 334, there's actually a table comparing penalties for analogs under the old law versus under the new law, and that's a strong indication that the legislature recognized that analogs were prohibited under House Bill 64. They were prosecuted in a little bit of a different way under the aggravated trafficking statute, but they were certainly prohibited. Under 334, there was a table for all the new penalties under that bill, and so now we have just a different statutory scheme under 334. But it doesn't clarify anything because there was nothing to clarify. If this court were to find for appellant's proposition of law or adopt appellant's proposition of law, there would be far-reaching implications beyond just the appellant's conviction, which we, of course, hope to uphold here. First of all, it would impact 15 other titles of the revised code that mention controlled substances without any reference to an analog. So one example is the OVI statute, which states that no person shall drive under the influence of, and then controlled substances is one of the things. So if this court were to find that the General Assembly should have placed a reference in every other title, rather than relying on the clear, plain language of 3719.013, which stated controlled substance analogs shall be treated for purposes of any provision of the revised code, then we'd end up with these absurd results. We would end up with people who are driving under the influence of analogs but couldn't be prosecuted for that because—
Counsel, when you use the term analog, define that for me, please.
An analog is a substance that is, first of all, substantially structurally similar chemically to something already identified in Schedule 1 or 2. And then,
so it has the same identical effects as the controlled substance?
It might not have identical effects, but it has similar. Are you talking about the physiological effects?
Well, I'm asking you because it seems, you know, that the drug laws and are very complex. Are extremely complex, and we're talking about definitions that are very, very precise when we're talking about controlled substances. And here you're saying that analogs should be treated just the same, even though they're not mentioned, and you're saying that they're not identical to the controlled substance. It just seems that the idea of due process, of an individual being told what you're doing is against the law, but it's not written in the code that way. And that doesn't matter because it has the same effect, or maybe some of the same effects as a controlled substance. That just doesn't meet the smell test.
Well, the analog has to do two things. It has to be substantially structurally similar chemically, and it also has to have similar physiological effects.
Does it have a definition in the code?
Correct, Your Honor, yes.
What definition, please?
That's what it is. It's a substance that is substantially structurally similar to a Schedule 1 or 2 substance, and that also provides some of the same physiological effects as a Schedule 1 substance. So you have to meet both
what
parts.
What site is the definition?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 3719.01HH. And Your Honors, I would like to allocate the rest of my time to the Attorney General's office.
All right.
Thank you.
So, counsel, the definition is not found within Title 29, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. So, Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, Zach Howe on behalf of the Ohio Attorney General's office. I'd like to start, Justice Lansinger, with your inquiry regarding due process. I should first note that due process has not been raised in this case. I'm also not aware of any case that has held that where a statute appears is sufficient to constitute a due process violation. However, even if we look closer at this question, I would say that it fails both factually and legally. Factually, we know that Shalash had notice in this case. He was warned twice by police that his activities were illegal. He admitted that what he was doing was illegal upon his arrest, and he simply said he kept doing it for the money. He was also hiding these things in ceiling tiles and back rooms. He's currently at large. The claim we're dealing with here only arose after the Smith decision from the 10th District.
He's currently at large.
That's correct, Your Honor. We don't know where he is.
Okay. That doesn't have much to do with how we decide
whether
analogs are covered under the statute that he was charged under. I'm wondering about things that are not chemically similar but look like or smell like and are passed off as. That's a criminal penalty as well, isn't it?
If it is not similar,
fake cocaine, for example, isn't that a criminal penalty?
If it is similar enough to fall within the analog statute, then
no,
yes, Your Honor.
He's talking about trafficking in a counterfeit substance. That's a totally different area of the statute.
Oh, I see.
Counterfeit substance, sell it. Passing off flour as cocaine, that gets you in trouble too, doesn't it?
I suppose it would, yes, Your Honor.
Why?
It does or it doesn't.
I'm sorry, the issue of counterfeit substances
is foreign to you.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
There is a statute that prohibits counterfeit substances.
Yes, Your Honor.
Why isn't an analog considered a counterfeit substance?
Again, I'm not explicitly familiar with the exact definition of a counterfeit substance. In order to
constitute... It doesn't I'm still trying to get my head around the idea of what an analog is. You're saying the analog to marijuana. So it sounds like it's similar to marijuana, has the same effects as marijuana, or at least that's the argument. Why isn't it counterfeit marijuana?
Well, Your Honor, if it is structurally substantially similar and has a similar pharmacological effect as a synthetic cannabinoid, then it would qualify under the analog statute.
Which is not in Title 29.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Counsel, isn't it, if the substance has a stimulant, depressant, or hallucinogenic effect, flower is not going to do that for you.
That's correct.
So there's a clear definition or clear distinction between oregano and marijuana, or flower and cocaine, or whatever. We're talking about a substance that does have a stimulant, a depressive, or a hallucinogenic effect. It is substantially similar in the structure of the controlled substance as a Schedule 1 or 2. And the definition is clearly distinguishable from a counterfeit substance.
Yes, Your Honor. And just to wrap up, just to make the legal point here that I think is important, this court has recognized the age-old principle that ignorance of the law is not a defense. And so just as we hold someone responsible for a DUI, even though that's contained in Title 45 rather than Title 29, we also must assume that individuals are aware of Title 37, in addition to Title 29.
And your argument is that we should not conclude that it wasn't a crime because the legislature decided to move it to 29 or to reference it in 29 at a later point in time.
Yes, Your Honor. We would say that the new bill, House Bill 334, simply expanded upon what 29 already did. And it did that by broadening Schedule 1, scheduling substances based on chemical group rather than putting individual substances on there. And that beefed up the analog statute as well, because it now covered analogs of all these newly scheduled drugs. And then it broke out the penalty into, or the offense into a separate offense for analogs, solely so that it could attach harsher punishments that were commensurate with the unique dangers of analog drugs. But that says nothing about the intent to criminalize analogs in House Bill 64. And we know that from the text of the analog statute. We also know it from the legislative history, the context, and the purpose. So we would say all of those counsel in favor of concluding that the analog statute did exactly what the text says. It applied to the drug offense provisions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Scott?
Mr. Scott, I apologize. I butchered the statute when I asked the opening question to you. We're talking about 3719.013, so thank you for knowing what I was talking about.
Yes,
anyway.
Your Honor.
But if we can point again to that statute, I ask your friend, Ms. Horvath, where is Schedule 1? And the response was that it's in Chapter 37. So how does that... how is that consistent with your argument that we're only talking about Title 20 or 3719.013 is only talking about Title 37?
Good question, Your Honor. And let's take a look at 3719.01. Again, this is the controlled substance definitional statute. It actually derives its schedule from 3719.41, 0.43, 0.44. Neither that statute or 2925.01, drug offenses definitional statute, neither one of them derive the schedule from this new statute, 3719.013. So when we go to where everyone gets their schedule from, 3719.41, 0.43, 0.44, when you look at this huge list of all these chemical compounds, it looks like a chemistry book. And at no point in anywhere in there is the term controlled substance analog ever mentioned. So where the schedules are derived for all these statutes, there's never mention of controlled substance analogs. The state is essentially trying to put socks on an octopus, Your Honors, in that trying to explain to this court how it was so easy for any person to open up the code and figure out where these what was legal, what was illegal. It's not easy. It's very difficult. Their explanation was difficult to follow. And not only that, the 10th District had trouble following what was legal and what was
illegal.
Counsel,
I'm having trouble with that argument that you're on right now, because I heard the Attorney General tell us a very compelling and inviting argument. Mm-hmm. Well, the police told him it was illegal. Is that good enough on a constitutional basis?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. Mr. Shalash's subjective belief as to the state of the law is completely separate as to whether or not the General Assembly had actually criminalized this particular activity. You know, he can believe, harboring aliens from outer space is illegal, but if the General Assembly has not actually spoken on that topic, he cannot be convicted of those offenses, Your Honor.
Counsel, back to Chapter 35 or 37, where there's the laundry list. Is that also used for purposes of guiding the medical profession in terms of prescriptions and those kinds of things? As to there are some drugs that can only be provided for X amount of time to a patient, and very strictly controlled within the medical profession.
Absolutely, Your Honors.
So the same list that we're looking at is used to establish the limitations on the use of all of those drugs in the whole healthcare field.
Correct, Your Honors. A common example, I see everyone up here seems to have a touch of a cold. If you go to CVS.
Oh, we do.
yourself.
It's going around, Your Honors. But if you go to CVS, and when you take and sign that sheet and you want to get some Sudafed, when you're signing on that line, now granted, those are Schedule II drugs, but when you're signing on that line, 37 is regulating that process. This is what 37 primarily does. It deals with your wholesalers, your manufacturers, your distributors, and gives those guidelines as to how to handle these particular substances. So for someone opening the code, it wouldn't be their natural inclination to go to this regulatory civil part of the revised code to answer some of these questions.
You know, marijuana is listed in this section.
It is, Your Honors.
Okay, so you're saying this is really complicated. How am I going to ever figure out if marijuana is illegal?
Well, but we're not talking about marijuana.
I know we're not talking about marijuana, but that's a pretty well-understood mescaline. There's a host of drugs that are known on the street mm-hmm. that are encompassed in this definitional section 0.41.
Yes, Your Honor.
So I'm not suggesting that your client ever looked at this, not for a minute. However, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And, I don't understand why you're saying, well, this is just so complicated, the average drug dealer wouldn't know how to figure out how he was breaking the law.
Ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
Hashish. I mean, there's some pretty familiar terms in this definitional section.
Correct. But again, we're talking about substances that had not been criminalized. So ignorance of the law is not an excuse, but there actually has to be a law in place actually criminalizing that particular substance in order for that person to be aware.
All right. Isn't, and so you're saying that your client should not be held accountable because of the section that Justice French started out with, 3719.013, which does say that any, and it uses the word any, and it refers to these analogs, is going to be treated the same as a Schedule 1 or 2, correct?
If I'm understanding the Justice's question, does any mean any? And again, in this case, it would not, because that definition was limited to 37. And
what do you mean it was limited to 37?
The definition of 3719.013, that definition, the controlled substance analog definitional statute, it's our position that that definition was limited to Title 37. There's limiting language in 3719.
Except as otherwise provided mm-hmm. in Section 2925.03 or 2925.11 of the revised code, a controlled substance analog to the extent intended for human consumption shall be treated for purposes of any provision mm-hmm. of the revised code, any provision of the revised code as a controlled substance in Schedule 1. It doesn't say any provision in Section 37. It doesn't say any limitations on that?
But if you look at 3719.01, it has limiting language as used in this chapter. And the 10th District interpreted that as that definition being a closed definition. And so 3719.013 would be limited to Title 37, Your Honors. But not only that, we still have 334 sitting out here, which is purporting to actually create these offenses. That is a huge issue that is very obvious.
Title 29 talks about crimes, and that's where the crimes are found, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
Even with respect to motor vehicle offenses, we still have the initial Title 29 referring or creating the offense, and then there may be a cross-reference to Title 45 or Title 37, but the crimes themselves are found in 29. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, Your Honors. Right. And I would also agree that, as is typical, there would be a cross-reference to another statute, and that didn't happen here. It exists now. That's one of the things that 334 cleared up. Those cross-references actually aren't even necessary because they actually placed it in the criminal code, Your Honors. If there are no further questions from the panel, Mr. Shalash would ask that this court adopt the analysis and conclusions of the 10th District and vacate his conviction with prejudice, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Marshal, will you adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.